Today is the 21st day of October. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian, and it's wonderful to be able to have a place to gather like this every day, and take the next step forward together. And so that's what we have gathered to do, to take the next step forward together, which leads us back into the book of Jeremiah. And today we will read chapters 37 and 38 before moving forward in the New Testament back into 1 Timothy. But first, Jeremiah. And King Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, reigned instead of Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, made king in the land of Judah. But neither he nor his servants nor the people of the land listened to the words of the Lord, which he spoke through the prophet Jeremiah. But Zedekiah, the king, sent Jehukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Zephaniah, the son of Maaseiah, the priest, to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "Please pray to the Lord our God for us." Now Jeremiah was still coming in and going out among the people, for they had not yet put him into prison. At that time, Pharaoh's army had come out of Egypt, and when the Chaldeans who were besieging Jerusalem heard the report of them, they departed from Jerusalem. Then the word of the Lord came to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, thus you shall say to the king of Judah, who sent you to me to inquire of me, Pharaoh's army which has come out to help you shall return to Egypt, to its own land. The Chaldeans will come again and fight against this city, and take it and burn it with fire. Thus says the Lord, do not deceive yourselves, saying, the Chaldeans will surely depart from us. For they will not depart. For though you had struck the whole army of the Chaldeans who fight against you, and there remained but wounded men among them, yet every man would rise up in his tent and burn this city with fire." Now when the army of the Chaldeans had withdrawn from Jerusalem at the approach of Pharaoh's army, Jeremiah set out from Jerusalem to go into the land of Benjamin, to take possession of his property there among the people. When he was in the gate of Benjamin, a captain of the guard was there whose name was Irijah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Hananiah. And he seized Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "You are falling away to the Chaldeans." But Jeremiah said, "It is false. I am not falling away to the Chaldeans." But he did not listen to him. So Irijah seized Jeremiah and brought him to the officials. Therefore the officials were wrathful with Jeremiah and struck him and put him in prison in the house of Jonathan the scribe, for they had made that the prison. For Jeremiah had entered the dungeon, that is, the vaulted cell, and Jeremiah had remained there many days. Then Zedekiah, the king, sent and took him out, and the king asked him secretly in his house and said, "Is there any word from the Lord?" And Jeremiah said, "There is." Then he said, "You shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon." Moreover, Jeremiah said to King Zedekiah, "How have I sinned against you, or against your servants, or against this people that you have put me in prison? Where now are your prophets, who prophesied to you, saying, the king of Babylon will not come against you, nor against this land? Therefore, now, please, listen, O my lord the king. Please let my supplication be accepted before you, that you not cause me to return to the house of Jonathan the scribe, lest I die there." And Zedekiah the king commanded that they should commit Jeremiah into the court of the prison and give him daily a piece of bread out of the baker's street until all the bread in the city was finished. Thus Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Now Shephatiah, the son of Mitan, and Gadaliah, the son of Pashur, and Jukal, the son of Shelemiah, and Pashur, the son of Melchijah, heard the words that Jeremiah had spoken to all the people, saying, "Thus says the Lord, he who remains in this city will die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. But he who goes out to the Chaldeans shall live, for he shall have his life as plunder and shall live. Thus says the Lord, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, and he will capture it." Therefore the officials said to the king, "We beseech you, let this man be put to death, for he thus weakens the hands of the men of war who remain in this city, and the hands of all the people, in speaking such words to them. For this man does not seek the welfare of this people, but their harm." And Zedekiah the king said, "Here he is. He is in your hand, for the king cannot do anything against you." Then they took Jeremiah and cast him into the cistern of Melchijah, the son of Hamalek, that was in the court of the prison. And they let Jeremiah down with cords. And in the cistern there was no water, only mud. So Jeremiah sank in the mud. Now Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs who was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the cistern. Now the king was sitting in the gate of Benjamin. Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spoke to the king, saying, "My lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into this cistern. And he will die by hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in this city." Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, "Take 30 men with you from here, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the cistern before he dies." So Ebed-Melech took the men under his authority and went into the house of the king under the storeroom, and took from there worn out clothes and worn out rags, and let them down by cords into the cistern to Jeremiah. Then Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian said to Jeremiah, "Now put these worn-out clothes and worn-out rags under your armpits, under the cords." So Jeremiah did accordingly. Then they drew Jeremiah up with cords and took him up out of the cistern, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Then Zedekiah the king sent and had Jeremiah the prophet brought to him at the third entrance that is in the house of the Lord. And the king said to Jeremiah, "I will ask you something. Hide nothing from me." And Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, "If I declare it to you, shall you not surely put me to death? And if I give you counsel, you will not listen to me." So Zedekiah the king swore secretly to Jeremiah, saying, "As the Lord lives, who made our souls, I surely will not put you to death, nor will I give you into the hand of these men who seek your life." And Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, "Thus says the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if you will surrender to the officers of the king of Babylon, then your soul will live, and this city will not be burned with fire. Thus you and your household will live. But if you do not surrender to the king of Babylon's officials, then this city will be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they will burn it with fire, and you will not escape out of their hand." And Zedekiah the king said to Jeremiah, "I am afraid of the Jews who have fallen over to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand and mock me." But Jeremiah said, "They will not deliver you. Please obey the voice of the Lord which I speak to you, so it will be well with you and your soul will live. But if you refuse to surrender, this is the word that the Lord has shown me. And all the women who are left in the house of the king of Judah will be brought out to the officers of the king of Babylon. And those women shall say, 'Your friends have misled and prevailed against you. While your feet were sunk in the mud, they turned back.' So they will bring out all your wives and your children to the Chaldeans, and you will not escape out of their hand, but will be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon, and you will cause this city to be burned with fire.'" And Zedekiah said to Jeremiah, "Let no man know these words, and you will not die. But if the officials hear that I have talked with you, and they come to you and say to you, 'Declare to us now what you said to the king and what the king said to you. Do not hide it from us, and we will not put you to death.' Then you will say to them, 'I presented my supplication before the king, that he would not cause me to return to the house of Jonathan to die there.'" Then all the officials came to Jeremiah and asked him, and he told them according to all these words that the king had commanded. So they stopped speaking with him, for the matter was not overheard. So Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison until the day that Jerusalem was captured. First Timothy 6. "Let as many servants as are under the yoke of slavery count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be slandered. Let those who have believing masters not despise them because they are brothers. Instead, let them serve as slaves, because those who receive their service are faithful and beloved. Teach and command these things. Anyone who teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to godly doctrine, is conceited and knows nothing. He has a morbid disposition for controversy and verbal disputes, from which come envy, strife, blasphemies, evil speculations, constant disputes by men of corrupt minds, being destitute of the truth, and supposing that financial gain is godliness. Withdraw yourself from such men. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. If we have food and clothing, we shall be content with these things. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all evil. While coveting after money, some have strayed from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, escape these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you are called and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. I command you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and in the sight of Christ Jesus, who testified a good confession before Pontius Pilate, to keep this commandment without blemish, blameless until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he, who is the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords, will reveal at the proper time. He alone has immortality, living in unapproachable light, whom no one has seen nor can see. To him be honor and everlasting power. Amen. Command those who are rich in this world that they not be conceited, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who richly gives us all things to enjoy. Command that they do good, that they be rich in good works, generous, willing to share, and laying up in store for themselves a good foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of eternal life. O Timothy, guard that which is committed to your trust. Avoid profane babblings and opposing views from so-called knowledge. By professing it, some have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen. Psalm 89, 38 through 52. But now you have cast off and rejected him. You have been wrathful with your anointed king. You have renounced the covenant with your servant. You have defiled his crown by casting it to the ground. You have broken down all his walls. You have brought his strongholds to ruin. All who pass by the way plunder him. He is a reproach to his neighbors. You have set high the right hand of his adversaries. You have made all his enemies rejoice. You have also turned back the edge of his sword and have not made him stand in battle. You have made his glory cease and cast his throne down to the ground. The days of his youth you have shortened. You have covered him with shame. How long, O Lord? Will you hide yourself forever? How long shall your wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. Why have you made all the people in such emptiness? What man can live and not see death? Who can deliver his soul from the power of Sheol? Selah. Lord, where are your former loving kindnesses, which you swore to David in your faithfulness? Remember, O Lord, the reproach of your servants and how I bear in my heart the insults of the many nations, which your enemies taunt, O Lord, with which they mock the footsteps of your anointed king. Blessed be the Lord forever. Amen and amen. Proverbs 25, 28. He who has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Okay, so we are reading through the book of Jeremiah, and we are at the point in the story where the Chaldeans, the Babylonian Empire, has its absolute sights set on Jerusalem and the conquering of Jerusalem. And everyone can surrender, or the Chaldeans can overcome Jerusalem eventually and destroy it completely. This is an unfamiliar territory to us. We've read through, we know that the kingdom of Judah, that Jerusalem does fall and the people are carried away into exile in Babylon. So the book of Jeremiah takes us inside the story. It takes us inside the walls of Jerusalem where Jeremiah is prophesying, and we can see how things are beginning to fall apart inside the city. All kinds of different groups of people. Some people are trying to escape and defect. Some people are trying to hold everyone together. People are mad at Jeremiah for basically saying, "Thus says the Lord, if you want to live, you got to surrender to the Babylonians. If you don't surrender to the Babylonians, you're going to die." Which is a demoralizing thing to say to a people who are under siege inside the city walls. If you're expecting somehow that there's going to be a way out of this, Jeremiah is prophesying that there isn't a way out of this. The one way you can live is to surrender. But what we're talking about is a nation surrendering to another nation, right? So that's a pretty big deal. And there's a king involved, and he's divided. He's his power has been diminished considerably. If people want to rebel against the king, how can the king stop them? Society has fallen apart. There's nothing to eat. Jeremiah gets arrested. He gets thrown into a well where he sinks in mud, where he's just supposed to die because there's nothing to eat or drink. And then he gets pulled up out of the well in a secret meeting with the king. We see all of this stuff is just falling apart inside of the city walls. And so the siege that Babylon has enacted against Jerusalem is working. The people are starving. The people are confused. The people are demoralized, but they won't surrender. And so the wall is going to get breached, and soldiers are going to come rushing in, swinging swords at people. And people are going to die, and people are going to be running, and it's going to be chaos, because that's what happens when the walls that are protecting you fall down. And so Jeremiah is giving us this kind of front row seat. We're taken right inside Jerusalem to see what's going on. Now, let's flip over to the book of Proverbs and read the one sentence proverb that we read today. One sentence that makes the entire story that we are reading in Jeremiah a story that we need to pay attention to. The proverb says, "He who has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." So imagine Jerusalem. Imagine there's a breach in the wall, because once that happens, it's only going to get bigger. Imagine the chaos. Imagine the fighting there at the breach. Imagine the panic inside the city. Panic by people who are starving to death. Imagine the adrenaline flowing through their bodies, but their bodies don't have the strength to actually fight or flee. Imagine enemy soldiers getting in through that breach in the wall and starting to light things on fire, and the smoke beginning to rise and the chaos of it all. That's what it's like to be one without self-control. It's like a city that is broken down and without walls, is defenseless. Now we have something to talk about, right? Now we have something to meditate upon all day, all the time. Like, we can really, really hold on to this one, because Jeremiah takes us inside the city and we see just how crazy it's getting. And it gives us such a picture of what it looks like when we lose control over ourselves. And that should snap a picture into place for us, because we've all lost control. Like, everybody, every human being. But when we never get it back, when we kind of live without self-control, the chaos that our lives look like, indeed, look like a city that is broken down and without walls, looks remarkably like what we're reading about in the book of Jeremiah. And so let's take that into our day-to-day and think about that and watch ourselves and see when we're beginning to lose it. And remember what the proverb said. And remember what it looks like inside of Jerusalem in the book of Jeremiah. And understand spiritually, we're setting ourselves up for the same thing. And ironically, what Jeremiah was telling the people inside Jerusalem is, you can live. You can live. You can save your own life as plunder of war. You have to surrender. And again, they were really, really wrestling with surrender, because you don't surrender. One sovereign nation doesn't surrender to another sovereign nation. We'll fight to the death of the last person. In our case, though, in the book of Proverbs, with the city broken down without walls, we still need to surrender. When we have lost all self-control, we still need to surrender. Surrender to the lordship of the Holy Spirit's leadership in our lives. That changes everything. It's worth thinking about today. Does the Holy Spirit come into this? Thank you for this example. Thank you for personalizing it in such a way that we can understand what's going on here, and that we can draw parallels, because we've all lost control and we've all seen the chaos of it. But to liken it to the falling of walls and the rushing in of troops and the fall of a city gives us a picture that we can carry with us. Help us to see that sometimes we can be our own worst enemy and we need to surrender to you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That is the website. That's home base. And that is where you can find out what's happening around here. The Daily Audio Bible app will do that as well, right in the palm of your hand. And you can get the app from whatever app store is connected to your phone or your tablet. Just search for Daily Audio Bible and you should be able to find it. There are things always going on around here, but we have a brand new resource that is on its way, and it will land on the first day of November, so about a week and a half from now. It is called Sleep, A Contemplative Journey. And I told a story about it a few days ago in its entirety, and you can go back to like Tuesday, I think, and listen there if you haven't got a chance to hear that. I won't repeat the whole thing. But this is a necessary resource, at least it was a necessary resource in my life to create. As Jill and I became more and more intentional about rest, and I realized I can't just go to bed with all of the swirl of anxiety that the day may have drug in and expect good rest. Kind of have to be intentional about allowing a space to be created within us that allows us to wind down and go to sleep. And so this resource was created exactly for that, which is why it's called Sleep, A Contemplative Journey. And as I have been mentioning, this is a resource that I had a lot of fun being able to create using Dolby Atmos technology, so spatial audio technology, which is a technology that allows your stereo headphones to give you a surround sound, like a more encompassing, a bigger sound field to listen to, which is just very warm and engaging, really perfect for this kind of resource. So, nevertheless, November 1st is the day, and Sleep, A Contemplative Journey, is available now for pre-order. And so, like the music that's in Sleep, this will be on the streaming services, but the verses and the prayers, like, that's so strange when it's disembodied from its project. And it sounds like this is the song, and then there's just the spoken thing. It's just it's strange. So, for example, if you have like an Apple device, iPhone, something like that, and you use Apple Music, then you'd go to the iTunes store and look for Sleep, A Contemplative Journey, and you can pre-order it there. Or any of the other places that you download music, whatever it is that you use. So check that out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if what we do brings life and hope and encouragement and good news into your world, and thank you humbly and deeply for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That's the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
This prayer is for Kayla, who called in on October 17th. Lord, I just pray Father God, and I lift up Kayla to you, Father God. Lord, I pray that you would give her hope, that she would understand that you have not left her, you have not forsaken her. Lord, I pray for restoration of her body. I pray peace over her mind, Lord. And as she seeks you, I pray that you would manifest your glorious presence to her and cover her and breathe your life into every part of her body. I speak peace over her body. I pray, Lord, that you would reconcile everything that needs to be reconciled. Lord, I pray that she will hear your voice, and the voice of the enemy she will not hear. So, Lord, I thank you right now for Kayla, and I thank you for the testimony that she will have in her healing, in Jesus.
Hey, everyone. My name is Samantha. I called in a few weeks ago about my husband, who was having a baby with somebody else after I lost mine. And I just wanted to say, I posted that prayer request, and then maybe several days later, October 12th, she ended up having her baby. And when I tell y'all that I sobbed and I cried and I prayed for comfort and just for anything, and the very next day, I come on here, I listen every day while I'm doing my routes at work, and it just so happened the day after she had her baby, y'all's prayers were on there for me, and I don't think I've ever heard anybody pray out loud for me, and that touched me in ways that I can never explain, and that just proves that God's timing is beyond our understanding. And when I tell you I've had the most rough life the past 2 years, I lost my mom, I lost my grandma, and I'm going through this, and I'm not close with any of my family. I don't talk about my situation to anybody outside of my husband, and that prayer request was the first time I did, and it just showed that this is really what I needed in my life. And I'm so happy that I was shown this app, and I'm so thankful and blessed for it. So I want to thank everybody who sent me their prayers, and I'm praying for all of y'all. I listen every day, and I pray for y'all.
Hi, this is Victoria Soldier, just calling to pray for some of the dabbers. I wanted to pray for that precious pastor's wife who was shot in the head. I want to pray for them and pray for that precious family. I'm going to pray for Lazarus, and I want to pray for the marriages that they're going through. I want to pray for Lazarus. I want to pray for that precious family, the daughters who lost their mother into COVID, and I want to pray for that precious family. I also want to pray for Deborah, the one with stage 4 cancer. I want to pray for her, that the sister that only has 4 months to live. I want to pray that she not only be healed, but that she also receive Jesus Christ as her Savior. Gracious Father, we just ask you today, Lord, you're a miracle-working God. You can do anything but fail. Father, we just ask you to touch the marriages. We ask you to touch that precious pastor's wife. We ask you to touch that precious lady with stage 4 cancer. We ask you to touch that mother, that family that lost their mother, and they're going through, Lord. We ask you to have your way. Help them through, Lord. Help them through the situation, Father, as only you can do. Lord, we just ask you to have your way. We ask you for life and favor. We ask you for your miracles, Lord. We ask you to have your way in this nation and all nations that forget God. We just ask you to have your way, Father. We ask you to bless, Lord. Bless those who've been calling it and haven't, don't know which way to go, Lord. You direct them, Father. You open up jobs for those that have lost jobs due to COVID, Lord. That family that called and needed. Father, we ask you to have your way. And we give you the glory. We thank you for providing all the needs according to.
This is Justified Now in North Carolina. And today is October the 15th. I heard Yolanda, a longtime listener who has a son, and his name is Al. He's in the 9th grade, who has been having bullying issues at school, and he was beaten down in the bathroom. you requested prayer, Yolanda, and my heart went out to you and your son, and I pray for you both. Lord, I come in the name of your son, Jesus, asking that you look on this mother, Yolanda, and her son, Al. Your word gives us great comfort when it says that we can cast all our cares on you, for you care for us. So I pray that you will help Yolanda and her son to bear down hard on you for comfort so that they'll be able to go through this situation. Let them be overwhelmed by your love and your peace and your grace in this situation. And may those bullies come to the saving knowledge of who you are. I send love to you, dear mother, and to Brian and the family and all the community of Davis. This is Justified Now in North Carolina. God bless you. Love you, Davis.
Hello, everybody. This call is from Waco, Texas. I am calling I think I called maybe once or twice over the last few years, but it's been at least 2 years since I've called, I think. I listen to this podcast every day, and it's very good. It helps me a lot. I just love hearing the Bible and the manner that Brian reads it. So thank you to Brian for that. I'm sober 4 years now, and I'm so grateful for that and happy. I find that I'm just very much alone, though, and no matter what I do or how much I pray or how hard I try interacting or wherever I'm at or whatever I do, I'm just unhappy. I just am alone and unhappy. I think ever since I began way back in the past when I was in my addiction, I just think I lost my, well, obviously I lost myself, but I lost like happiness and joy, and I never really got that back. And so, you know, I've been working on rebuilding with my family and stuff, and that's not going great, but it's not horrible either. But the point is, I just need you guys to pray for me, for some kind of something from God to just help me get through this with not feeling so bad all the time and so alone. So I don't do all the meetings and all that kind of stuff because it just never, that part didn't work for me. But I am, you know, working every day and doing everything right. So, well, that I think, not everything, but, you know, the best I can. Anyways, thank you guys so much. Bye.